an unintended consequence, I'm sure, or maybe it was the wisdom of the church in choosing Advent to introduce the new translation, is the fact that what it does to all of us is it slows us down, doesn't it? I mean, you really have to kind of think when words are echoed, the Lord be with you, and then all of a sudden, and no, and we're supposed to be, and with your spirit. So it slows us down to begin to examine what we're saying, what we're doing. It slows us down. And Advent is a time that slows us down. We heard last Sunday, in terms of the proclamation, watch, be vigilant. Take heed of what you're doing, how you're doing. Understand that a significant event is going to happen, going to come. So you must prepare in whatever way possible. And here in the second Sunday of Advent, we have the introduction to Mark's Gospel. And in the introduction to Mark's Gospel, it does something different than the other two that are similar to Mark, which is Matthew and Luke. They're called synoptic gospels. In both Matthew and Luke, we start with the narrative in terms of Jesus' birth. But here, Mark does not. Mark starts immediately with the proclamation, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, or gospel, the good news, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, and immediately the pronouncement of his divinity, the Son of God. So all of a sudden, this gives credence to everything else that's going to come about. And then he jumps into the prophet Isaiah. Why the prophet Isaiah? The prophet Isaiah, who was the one who was foretelling the coming of that would be the Messiah, the suffering servant. So again, drawing that connection from the Old Testament to the completion now in the New Testament, and what figure kind of emerges immediately through the prophet is John the Baptizer. Great character, John the Baptizer. I don't think we'd be hanging around with John the Baptizer if he were alive today. Camel hair, eating locusts and wild honey. You know, here we have a man who's very intense. And that's part of the prophet. But we have to regain a proper understanding of the prophet. We misconstrue the prophet in our age. We talk about the prophet being an innovator. We talk about the prophet of being one who is telling the future. No. The prophet is the one who understands and sees clearly the hand of God present and how that hand of God is disconnected to what we are doing as a community. The prophet was the one who got out and said, no, go back to the covenant. When you pledge to be for God and God for you, go back to the covenant. Remember that God is your God and you are his people. And now we've drifted away from that. So the prophet is one who pulls us back to our roots, pulls us back to who we are, has us understand the importance of our relationship with God. It's as if we were all going to decide to sing a hymn. And everybody stood to sing the hymn, but all of us were singing off key. It's only the prophet who was singing on key. And it was his voice to try to get the rest of us to sing in unison the right way. So unlike our feeling today about prophets, the prophet is not so much an innovator as a preserver. One whose preservation is of that essential relationship with God. The prophet. The prophet is one who has an urgency, too, about him. And why? There's an urgency of the prophet because he realizes the message is important. For the longer we stray away from God, the more we know that consequences will happen. And here is where we begin to misconstrue the sense of foretelling, the sense of prediction. I can tell you immediately that if suddenly the temperature dropped over 20 to 35 degrees and suddenly there was ice all over the ground, I could tell you that there's probably going to be an accident. You'd say, well, what's that? All you did is read the signs of the time. All you did is take a look at what was happening and understand that there are consequences to this. When we sin as a community, collectively or individually, there are consequences to that sin. When we are directed by our God through the gospel message to care about and to be concerned about those who are less fortunate and we don't, there are consequences. People hurt. But there are consequences before our God. We can see immediately in Matthew 25 later where God has us stand and separates us and holds us accountable for how our relationships are with our brothers and sisters. The prophet would immediately see if we are neglecting our responsibility, there are going to be consequences. In sin, there are always consequences. We damage the body of Christ. We damage the body of Christ. So that's in the sense of what happens in terms of the prediction. The prediction is that the prophet sees immediately those things we should be doing and that we're not, and there are going to be consequences to that. When we come to the figure of John the Baptizer, we see immediately in John his necessity to proclaim a message. And what's his message? His message is reform, repent, be different, understand your relationship with God. And you know, the strange thing about John the Baptizer is the fact that he is out away from the community. He is separated from the community. He's out in the desert. And if you think about it, there are people who are living very comfortable lives, easy lives, who are going out to hear him. Why? Because he's speaking the truth. He's touching their hearts in a very particular way about the necessity to reform, to repent, to cleanse themselves of the sins that they have before God, and to open themselves. That's why it is the path that is being prepared to open themselves up for the reception of our Lord. When Isaiah talks about preparing the way, making straight the path, that idea is well known to the communities of their time. Why? When a person of great prestige would be coming, the whole town would go out and they would prepare the way. What was preparing the way? Filling in those potholes we all experience, you know, on the various roads. Preparing the way by making it straight so that it would be a smooth coming for the person of great prestige into their community, into their town, into their lives. Now we're taking that pathway into our own lives, and we're being told now in this second Sunday in Advent to prepare the way, to make smooth the path, the internal path of our sense of God's presence in our lives, to make the path smooth. And for John the Baptizer, again, there is that urgency as a prophet. And that urgency is he's coming. So there's no time to waste. But at the same time, there is a time to reflect and to make sure we know who it is that comes. So there is a radical nature to John the Baptizer. But radical in the truest sense, radice, the very root, taking stock of who we are before our God, both as a community and individually. And when we understand that, we then turn ourselves over to a God who is so generous that he empties himself into this world. Our first pope gives us direction. It is a wonderful reading from St. Peter, and it is a great direction. And what is that direction? His direction is be patient. Don't impose your own will on God, for God is God and we're not. And when we understand that, then we understand immediately that God's time is God's time. And we have been afforded the time that we have here and now to do his bidding and to proclaim his mission. Peter was responding to the early community that was frustrated. They wanted that second coming now. They wanted it to happen now. It was too long in coming. They were accepting themselves as Christians, and now they wanted their reward, which is our Lord's return. But the other part, the other segment of the Christian community, understood something else, something that we have to share in now 2,000 years later, is that we have an obligation to carry out the mission which our Lord has given to us, to proclaim his presence, to proclaim that gospel, the good news, to the community. To seek those to reform and to come into our lives. To offer a sense of hope in and through Jesus Christ in our world. And as our world, and especially our community here in the United States, tries to separate God more from everything that we do, we have an obligation and a mission to bring that God back into everything that we do. Neutrality, for those of faith, is a lie. Because we know the God who has called us, and this God is all-pervasive and is the foundation of everything that we do. And when those people try to wash over and try to deny that presence, or at least the voice of that presence from those who believe, we have an obligation to pronounce that truth. We have an obligation to help our society reform. We have an obligation to help our community draw closer to the sense and presence of God. So therefore, with great patience, we accept our task and responsibility in this second Sunday of Advent to open ourselves up, to prepare the way, and to pronounce the wonderful aspect of the coming of Christ at Christmas, but more so, the coming of him into each and every one of our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.